You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, mate. You're right. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Looking forward to tonight's pod. You got everything prepped and ready?
Yeah, mate. I've got my notes, my equipment's all set up. Yeah, so I'm good to go.
Fantastic. You got your drink. You forgot it last time.
Yeah, I did, didn't I? There's a reason for that, though. I've actually run out of beer, so no beer again for me tonight.
Back-to-back episodes without beer. That's unlike you. How does a free case of beer sound like?
Almost sounds too good to be true, but I suspect you're about to tell me more, Ben.
I am indeed, Mike. Our friends at Beer 52 are offering a free case of 8 exclusive craft beers. Simply go on to www.beer52.com/Vic and simply cover the postage charge of $6.95 to claim your free case now.
Yeah, absolutely. Beer 52 is the biggest beer club in the world, and each month they send their members a case of beer from across the globe. Their Beers of the World case features 8 unique beers from 8 different countries, including South Korea, South Africa and Sweden, and that's what is on this month. And it's an absolute belter of a deal. It's not stuff that you'll find in supermarkets, so it's not just off-the-shelf stuff. It really is unique. It's hoppy, it's citrusy, it's tangy. All of the above, tick every box possible because it is there. So make sure you claim your free case now.
Sounds like a fantastic range, Mike. If dark beer is not your thing, you can choose the light only case. And also included is the award-winning Ferment magazine, and also get a couple of tasty snacks to go along with your beers too. Even if after all that, you're still unsatisfied, you can simply pause or cancel at any time.
Yeah, head over to all the W's. beer52.com/Vic. That's www.52.com/VIC to claim your free beer now. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Voices of the Vic podcast with me, Mike Duffy. Tonight, I am joined by Gabe Sutton, who is a bit of an AFL connoisseur, but also a Birmingham City fan. And we're playing Birmingham on Saturday. So I thought it would be quite appropriate to get him on the podcast. So I'm delighted to say I'm joined by him now. Gabe, thank you very much for coming on. How's things with you? Are you all good?
I'm very well, thank you, Mike. Yeah, thanks for having me on. Looking forward to having a chat with you.
Yeah, no, well, thank you very much for coming on. Just before we start, what sort of, you do a lot of, you know your stuff with the AFL. What sort of stuff do you do, and where can people find you on social media?
Sure. So if you're watching this in video form, you can see it at the bottom of the screen. I'm on Twitter at Gabsa, and I have lots of EFL conversation starters that you can chip in with from the perspective of your EFL team. You'll see what I mean when you look at the account. So lots of discussion going on there. I have a lot of fun with that. And then I also have a podcast called EFL Debate, which normally we have the championship on Wednesdays at 5:30. And if you're interested in the other leagues, we do League One typically at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and we do League Two at 7:30 on Thursdays. So you can drop me a follow at Gabsa, and you can follow the hashtag EFL Debate.
Happy days, there we go. So you know where to find him now. And yeah, you've also done some interviews with current and ex-managers of the EFL, even when they're still managing. So make sure you go and check that out. But We're here to talk about Birmingham City. Now, let's talk about the reverse fixture, the 2-0, which, you know, even I'll admit it was probably quite a harsh scoreline on Birmingham last time round. And it's actually on Saturday when we play each other again, it will be 6 months previous on the day that we played you, because it was the 16th of September. A lot's changed from that 2-0 win. You're actually onto your third manager from that game. And Watford are only just onto their second manager.
Fourth manager of the season. We're worse than you at the at this
I know. We still get the stick, though. It's always
going to be Watford. Well, do you know what? I noticed on the Twitter account, they noticed Tom Cleverley is going to be interim head coach as the first thing, thinking that that's going to sort of... Fewer people are going to jump on that, because if they started with Valerian Ishmael's going to be sacked, it was going to go viral. So quite clever, I think, from the media team.
Yeah, almost as clever as the time we gave him. Well, it's probably not worked out to be that clever now. But when we gave him a contract extension, they just said club statement, Valerian Ishmael, and everything's like, he's gone. But
absolutely,
yeah. You're on to your third manager, Tony Mowbray. Although we'll talk about him in a little bit. We're only on to our seconds. How's the season been since then? Because when you came to Vicarage Road, if memory serves me correct, I think you were 6-4 or hovering around that sort of area of the table.
We were certainly around, under John Eustace, we were certainly around that sort of area. And you know, it's been a really funny season for us, Mike, because we've had two times where this season where we've been on to a really good thing with a manager, and then both those times... you know, all hell's broken loose and there's been a lot of change. The first one was within our control, because our CEO, Gary Cookie, is best mates with Wayne Rooney's agent, Paul Stretford. So that stunk a little bit for John Eustace, I have to say. And it was pretty shoddy treatment of him. And that certainly didn't work out. And I would have been nice to have seen what would have happened, actually, if things had been allowed to breathe a little bit under Eustace. And then obviously they sort of rectified the Rooney mistake by appointing Tony Mowbray, reliable championship manager. But unfortunately, he's since had health issues, and then that's created another bit of chaos, because our form under Mark Venus hasn't been what we wanted it to be. So, it's looking like we're going to be in that dogfight with another seven teams.
I know, it's absolutely crazy this season. And as you mentioned there, Tony Mowbray, he's undergoing some medical treatment. I think he's been in hospital, or he might still be. So he's away from football in action at the moment. And like you say, Mark Venus is a man that's stepping up. He's one of the assistant coaches. What's the feel around St Andrews now that he's in charge? Because I'll be honest, when Mowbray was appointed, I thought that was a very, very clever appointment from the owners. And I think you guys have seen it before with the owners, where you were doing well under Gary Rowett. I'll never forget his first home game in charge, because it was against us.
I was there that night. It was wonderful.
And it was horrible. Yeah. so, you were doing really well under Rowett. These new owners come in and like, no, right, we want to get a big name in, even though Rowett was doing well. And I suppose it's a little bit of deja vu with the Eustace and Rooney thing. And, I thought they backed after sacking Rooney. They sort of, from the outside looking in, it was almost as if they were like, right, okay, we know we didn't do well with that appointment, so let's appoint someone with credible sort of reputation in the Championship, because Mowbray is, you know, he's done well wherever he's gone, and I'd imagine Sunderland fans are wishing that he never left, really, after how it's been going with Beale there. But
yeah,
what's the feel now Mowbray's not there, because it's sort of been handed over to Venus. He wouldn't have, you know, expected this to happen. Is it a case of they're trying to fight, you know, for Mowbray, or is it a case of things are going a bit belly, or what's the feel around St Andrews at the moment?
Well, I suppose we're recording this very soon before we kick off against Middlesbrough.
Yes.
So, yeah, we win, then in a couple of hours, I'm sure it'll be jubilant and everything's great again, because that's football, isn't it? I guess maybe from a psychological point of view, there's a little bit of a feeling of unease. Mark Venus is obviously a very experienced person in football, and I don't want to disregard that at all. At the same time, that sort of psychological thing of having the manager that you had brought in to do the job at the helm being the figurehead, and then having that taken away, just sort of create that bit of instability. And I think that's been maybe compounded by the resurgence of Sheffield Wednesday and QPR, the quick turnaround from Millwall under Neil Harris, Huddersfield even making a good appointment in Brighton Reiter. You could make lots of cases for all these teams actually staying up rather than going down. And actually the teams that are vulnerable are actually the ones like Blackburn and Plymouth Argyle, who are actually a little bit further above the sort of bunched up group. So yeah, I think it's a bit of a nervy time for Blues fans, and yeah, the manager situation is a big part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned that relegation running. You say Blackburn and Plymouth. Very good point on Plymouth. Ben, one of the other guys on our podcast, mentions that, you know, no one's really talking about them, and they're sort of sleepwalking into that territory. And you know, where the interim coach there, I forget his name, he come in and he started really well with them, and since it's not been going too well. So it's quite interesting that you've mentioned them as well. I think you'd be hard pushed to find a Watford fan that doesn't think we're in with a chance as
really,
well.
You think Watford could still get dragged in?
Yeah, with the running we've got, there's 9 games left. 6 of those are against top 10 sides, I believe. So it's really make or break this weekend. So you mentioned a minute ago, Birmingham are actually kicking off in 4 minutes. You've got your game in hand at home to Middlesbrough, which, you know, Blues will be looking at that as 3 points. Because as it stands right now, you're only above the relegation zone by 1 point. And as I say, the relegation battle has been hotting up in recent weeks. It seems to be recently, and I'm probably thinking as far back as Harry Redknapp keeping you up on the last day against Bristol City, but yeah, it seems to be quite a common theme really recently with Blues, where I think your highest finish in recent years is 17th, if I heard correctly.
I mean, I suppose we had that 17th place finish under Gary Monk was, we had like a 9-point deduction. So technically we were probably a bit better than 17th that season, but it definitely sort of adds to your point there, Mike, that we've had a lot, we're used to relegation battles, or even when we haven't been directly in the relegation battle, we've certainly been closer to it than maybe the playoff scramble. That's been a really frustrating thing over the last, basically since the Europa League season we had under Chris Hughton in 11-12. So, it's not been the best of times. And, well, do you know what? This is the really funny thing, Mike. Before this season, optimism levels at Blues were so high because we were so excited about Tom Wagner coming in and the way he communicated with fans and the fact that it looked like we had a plan in place. And I think fans were over the moon with that. So I think it would just be horribly ironic if this was the season we actually went down, after optimism levels being absolutely on the floor for the previous 10, 11 years, and actually us managing to stay up each time. So, yeah, that would be odd.
Yeah, and I think even from an outside looking in, you know, Blues have been one of those teams that really the size of the club should be in the Premier League, and they've definitely got the facilities. I know you've had a few issues with the grounds, but the new owners have come in and they've sorted the stand out now and everything else that was maybe a bit dodgy with the stadium. But I think, you know, The fact that you've got this new guy come in, and I it must be crazy for Blues fans as well, because, you know, seeing the videos of Tom Brady and Wagner walking into, was it the Roost pub? Though only the Blues fans listening to this will sort of understand the funniness of that, because, you know, I know all the pubs around there, and the fact that, you know, you're in there having a drink before the game and this this American football superstar walks into the security guards. But
next it'll be Taylor Swift in the garrison.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You mentioned there, obviously, in recent years, it's sort of the norm for Blues to be involved in a relegation fight. And every year you've managed to scale it. You've got away with staying up. Do you think that's going to be the case this season as well? Or is there a genuine fear? Others are picking up form around us. You mentioned there Sheffield Wednesday rolls onto a good thing at the moment. Huddersfield, I know they lost to the Baggies the other day, but they sort of look like they might pick up a little bit. They give Leeds a good run for their money. QPR, the fella's gone in there and done a superb job. And then Millwall, we've both been at the end of a 1-0
sort of shithousery defeat by Millwall in the last 2 weeks. So is there a genuine fear this season that it could be it, or do you think you've got enough to do it?
I think the most important thing at this stage of the season is having a fan base that's just going to rally around the manager and a team that's going to go with it. So I look at Neil Harris at Millwall. Neil Harris's record as a manager below the Championship isn't necessarily that great. And from a tactical and technical perspective, I'm not convinced that he's necessarily Championship level sustainably. However, he is somebody who just galvanises the Millwall fans. And in a really tense situation, he's the kind of leader that can really tighten up a team and get them fighting. And that's why they've taken 10 points from his four games. And I think at that stage, this sort of, I hate to use the word, the buzzword momentum, but the sort of the feeling around the club is actually more important sometimes than the technical and tactical side of things, because it's the high stakes point of the season and you've got to have the mentality being strong. And that's where I'm kind of a little bit apprehensive when it comes to Blues. So if Mark Venus finishes the season in charge, I would have serious concerns, because I look at some of the other clubs and most of them, other than maybe Blackburn and Argyle, who, you know, their fans aren't quite so sure about their new managers. All the other clubs are pretty confident and bullish in getting behind their manager. And I think it puts Mark Venus in a difficult situation, because although he was chosen by Tony Mowbray being a sort of a long-term associate of his, it puts him in an awkward position because he wasn't the one that was chosen, which is why I think it's essential for Blues to either get Tony Mowbray back, hopefully in good health, or even for the club to actually go for an experienced Championship manager that the club can rally behind for 9 or 10 games. So for me, that's, I think, where Blues are at the moment, because I'm not sure that Mark Venus is going to keep us up.
Yeah, it's. I think you're spot on with the Neil Harris there. We had a Millwall podcast on a couple of weeks ago, obviously, before we played them, and I sort of pointed out that, look, you know, Neil Harris, since he left Millwall, he's hardly turned up trees in lower leagues, but he says that he's the prodigal son, isn't he? He's such a legend at Millwall, and sometimes that's all you need. You've got someone to rally behind, and we're sort of hoping that with Tom Cleverley, you know, it'll be a big game for him because it means so much Watford does to him. Ex-Villa player going to Birmingham City on his debut, so I'm sure he'll be given a nice welcome.
Well, what you can say about our fans is we're very knowledgeable. Like when you get an ex-Villa player that played for Villa like 10 years ago that goes over to take a corner, they'll get absolute dogs abused and called a DVB. And in a way, you know, it's a little bit hostile, but you kind of admire the knowledge that you're able to bank up these ex-Villa players. So I've got a question actually, Mike, on Tom Cleverley. In terms of the betting sites, they're actually not offering it for the Watford manager, which because the noises seem to be that the club want to give Tom Cleverley a chance as interim head coach. Have you heard any noises about his coaching potential and why the club may be willing to give him this sort of window?
I think the only reason that it's gone to him is, to be fair to Pozzo's credit, and it's very rare you'll find a Watford fan giving Pozzo credit at the moment. They do usually, when they sack these managers, have someone in the wings waiting. I don't think they've had the time, or they've had the initial talks with someone else. There's a lot of noise, and I don't agree with it, surrounding Scott Parker's name at the moment, which I just would not be on board with. But I think it's an easy appointment to make for Gino, because look, Tom is loved by Watford fans. He was captain with us. He came to us when he was 19 years old. He knows the club. He gets the club. He gets the ethos. But I think we're going into a bit of the unknown with him, because he's come from academy football to, you know, first team men's senior football. And there's such a big difference in between. And his first interview since being named interim manager, dropped at 6 p.m. on our YouTube channel, and he made that point, which was quite refreshing to hear. But it sounds like he's got a good group of people around him. He announced his backroom staff, and one of them that's a technical director is Jimmy Gilligan, who's he's one for the older Watford fan. He come through the Watford Academy, and he's a bit of a Watford stalwart. So it's good to have him in. A lot of people thought maybe Troy to come in with him or Paul Robinson, because neither are at clubs at the moment. But it's going to be interesting to see what Klebs brings, because we haven't got that previous experience. We haven't got, oh, well, he set up like this at this club, or he liked to play like this at this club. So we're going to be as it's going to be as new to us as it is to everyone else in that stadium.
For me, I've got reservations about Troy Deeney as a coach, because I think the one thing you really need in that sort of leadership position is patience with people. I think it's quite an underrated aspect of management. And I think maybe Troy's gone into coaching and management thinking, I'm very honest, I'm just going to tell it, call it as it is. I'm not going to pull any punches kind of thing. I'm going to say it and people are going to follow. But actually, I think sometimes there's actually a language to use. There's a way of saying things, sometimes and a place to say things as well, not necessarily publicly. And I think Troy's got to learn a lot of those things in order to certainly coach in Championship or, you know, anything around that sort of level. So that's my reservation around Troy. He's had a wonderful career, really admire him from that point of view. He's come up from some really challenging upbringings, and I've got a lot of empathy and respect for that. But I think he's got to learn a few lessons.
Yeah, I think the game's changed as well, to be honest, Gabe. I think you look back at, everyone loves watching them old clips of Neil Warnock, and then there's that famous one of John Sitton in the changing room at Brentford. And back in the day, you were able to say what you wanted and not mince your words and get away with it. But nowadays, there's so much more to football behind the scenes that you just can't get away with it. And listen, I love Troy, and obviously that added extra sort of connection for me is, obviously, I'm from Solihull, and, you know, Troy, born and raised in Chelmsley, having a Watford captain and someone there for that long that also comes from Birmingham, that connection's there. And even though he's gone on podcasts since and said things and everything else, he did a four-parter with another Watford podcast, Do Not Scratch Your Eyes, and they had him for 4 hours, and I've listened to it all, and he really is a top bloke. But I think sometimes he maybe is let down by the fact that he's so open and like you say, doesn't pull any punches. And I think that comment he made about Davo obviously missing the penalty to send Coventry to the Premier League, and then I think he said that he wouldn't get into a National League side. I think, you know, yes, I could maybe understand where it's coming from. Some players need tough love, but in this day and age, it's just not right to call them out. So, I think Troy will come back to Watford one day in some capacity, and I would welcome that with open arms, because it's been evident that since he left, we have been missing a Troy Deeney-shaped hole in terms of the leadership, because there is no leadership in this squad. Maybe you could argue now that maybe Wes Hoot has maybe provided a little bit, but nowhere near on the scale of Troy. So I think he will come back. But just obviously steering more towards Saturday again, sure. I think I know who the answer is going to be to this one. But who's Blues' danger man? Now, for me, it's quite obviously Jay Stansfield, because he's come in, he's done a superb job. I'll be honest, I had reservations about whether he'd be able to do it at this level, as I'm sure many people did. But my word, he's made me and several others, eat our words, and he continues to go strength to strength. So I'm quite surprised, actually. And you might tell me now that there was a clause in his contract, but I'm quite surprised that Fulham didn't. It is Fulham, isn't it? He's on loan from.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm quite surprised they didn't recall him in January, but maybe there's something in his.
I was dreading that Fulham would recall him, maybe send him to a top end Championship side. Yeah. Because what I've loved about having Jay Stansfield up top, Mike, is in previous seasons, you know, when you've just got no pace up top at all in attack, and it's like so frustrating because you feel like there's a great opportunity for a counterattack, but you've got no one who can really lead it. And that's what it's been like for Blues for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, basically since Che Adams left. And because in 18-19, he had a really good strike pairing with Lukas Jukovic. But when, since he's got went to Southampton, we never really replaced him. So it's pretty much been either Scott Hogan or Lukas Jukovic. And Hogan gets about a bit, but hasn't really got the pace to stretch defenders at this stage of his career. And Jukovic is a 35-year-old target man, certainly doesn't. So it's been quite a, I don't know, it hasn't been very easy on the eye at times. And what I've loved about having Jay Stansfield is just that energy that he's got to stretch defences with his pace and really move defenders. And then that's kind of helped some of our more creative players as well. So, yeah, I think you're totally right to bring him up as the key man.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, when you're missing that pace up top. Yeah, I do. Rajovic at the moment, I mean, you obviously keep an eye on the EFL a lot, so I don't know if he's flagged up on your radar for good or bad reasons, but even though he's got 10 goals for us this season, he's so frustrating. Mm. And yeah, we could do with a player like Stansfield. And
I think you seem to be better sometimes with Vakoun Bayo starting up top instead of him.
100%, because Vakoun Bayo, although the goals aren't there in his department, then yes, being a striker, you need to have goals to be able to do your job well. He does a lot of the off the ball work really well. Mm. And I mean, I'm going a bit off tangent here, but Valerian Ismail was sort of known for his high press, high intensity style football. And you could maybe argue that type of football wasn't implemented at Watford. Mm. And why, we don't know. That's probably a whole different can of worms. But Bayo works that really well because the work that he does. Yet then when Rajovic comes on, it's almost as if you're sort of thinking, well, hang on a minute, why isn't he doing what Bayo was doing? Has he actually been told to play a different way to Bayo? Because if Bayo could have Rajovic's goals, then my word, he'd no doubt be the first name on the team sheet, no problem whatsoever.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, it's frustrating. Just another couple of questions, because I may not be a bit pushed for time, but we have actually binned this question off for this season's podcast, but because you're a bit of an EFL connoisseur, I'm going to ask you, because every time we ask this question, it's usually Troy Deeney, Pedro or Saar, even though they've not played for us for how long. In terms of Watford, where you're looking at Watford coming to St Andrews this Saturday, who would you, as a Blues fan, look at our squad and be like, he's going to be a problem? Is there anyone in particular? Is there any couple players? Anyone?
I'm going to give you another name into the mix. Mate Vidra, in that season you had under Gianfranco Zola, your lot absolutely tore us apart. I think 4-0. It might have been around February. Yeah, 4-0. I think it was February 2013. And Vidra was really, you know, in his heyday, he was real top championship centre forward. So Vidra's a threat, but I think you can't deny the quality of Jair Pedro. I think it's a shame in a way. I'd have loved to have seen Jair Pedro play for Watford under a really good coach. Because it felt like you had him under Zisco Munoz, who I think was kind of carried a little bit by individuals. And obviously in the last season, it was just very chaotic from a managerial point of view, wasn't it? I just think it's a real shame that he didn't really have a proper, really good team to build around. You look at someone like Ruben Neves when he was at Wolves in 17-18 in the Championship, and they're a brilliant side, different position. But again, Jair Pedro in the Championship is such a player, but it always felt like he was carrying you a little bit, and probably the same with Ismail Assar.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of this, the squad that we've got now, is there anyone that stands out for you from a Watford point of view? Are you looking forward to seeing anyone? Are you maybe worried? You're like, oh God, I hope he's not on form.
I love about Yasir Aspria is he's just got that sparkle of creativity where he can turn the opponent really quickly and play a really incisive, cutting edge pass. So I think he's a super talented. I think you can see why, you know, the names that have been linked with him have been linked with him.
Absolutely. And just lastly, have you got a score prediction for the game this weekend?
Let's see how we get on against Middlesbrough tonight. I'm gonna go. Oh, it depends how Tom Cleverley gets on this first game. I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw for now. Bit conservative here.
Yeah, I think from a Watford point of view, I mean, I'm sure many Blues fans will be sort of nodding along agreeing to me as well. But it's definitely, it's got to that stage now where it's a must win. I mean, obviously, you might go on and win tonight. Our next game is Saturday. So you might have that extra added sort of boost of having a win tonight. We'll just have to wait and see. But I think we need to come away with the points. Doesn't matter how we do it. But really appreciate you chatting to us tonight, Gabe. And hopefully we're still in the same division next season, both of us. And you'll have to come on again next season, providing we are. But yeah, thank you very, very much for joining me tonight, Gabe.
That's my pleasure, Mike. It's been great to chat to you.
Yeah, likewise, mate. Take it easy.
Cheers.
So there we go. Gabe Sutton, what a nice chap. And honestly, check out his stuff on Twitter, Instagram as well. I think he's on, and his podcast that he says, EFL Debates. He's done a few interviews with a few EFL coaches, whilst they've still been in the role. So fair play. But yeah, I'm pretty much going to end it here as well. Just me tonight. No Cam, no Ben, none of the others. Three of us will be there this Saturday, though. So I'm going, Joe's going, Katie. In fact, no, four of us, me, Joe, Katie and Cam are going to the game. You might have noticed recently we've started putting out tweets in the lead up to away games, just advising the best places to park, best places to go for a drink. Now, in terms of that tweet this week, I think it's going to be a 2 or 3-parter because genuinely there are a fair few places to go for a drink or park before the game. So keep your eyes peeled for that. But if you see us about, I think we're all meeting in the Briar Rose, the Wetherspoons in town. If you're going to go there, if you see us, give us a shout and we'll grab a beer and we'll grab a chat. But yeah, thank you very, very much for tuning in tonight. The numbers have been really, really good. We'll be back on maybe Sunday to chat about the game. It depends. I'm stopping over in Birmingham on Saturday, so it depends how hungover I am. I might be on it, I might not. But like I say, there is four of us going, so should be plenty of people that are able to watch the game. So yeah, we'll react to that at the weekend. And then we'll be back after that with a preview, hopefully, for the Leeds United game. And hopefully we've got a little bit more breathing space. But yeah, thank you very, very much for watching. Don't forget to hit that like button and hit that subscribe button. One thing I want to say as well is a massive thank you to everyone that's been watching. The numbers for our videos recently are shot right up. And that's down to you guys. And we cannot thank you enough. And the likes on the videos, the subscribers, we're slowly creeping towards 500. So if you're watching this, if you're not logged in, all you need is a Gmail account, log into that, click that subscribe button. You'll be notified every time that we go live, which is weekly, sometimes bi-weekly. Just one more thing, even though I've said that about 3 times now. I mentioned about a competition coming up. That is going to be the case, but we're probably looking now more towards the start of April. So keep your eyes peeled for that as well. And it's just a thank you to you guys for sticking with us, because recently we had our 200th episode. So yeah, thank you very much and take care, everyone. Come on, you horns.
Sports Social Podcast Network.